adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, our guest in studio is Jewel. Good to have you back, Jewel.
Hello.
We realized it had been 5 years since Jewel was here.
We didn't realize that. We've been told that. Can't believe it.
We realized it after. Well, that's how I realize stuff. People tell me, and then I realize. And Engineer Anderson says 3 years, but anyway.
We just heard 98.
We'll work it out. We'll work it out.
3 years fits with my brain more.
We'll work it out at some point. And Jewel couldn't be less interested in when she was here last year. Would you like, if you were to put your money on 3 years versus five years, you going five?
Going five.
But you recognize us, right?
I do.
And you miss us a little bit?
You know, I've thought of you every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been seeing a therapist about it.
Yeah. This is getting creepy. You're stalking me once every
Remember
5 years.
Remember last week when you brushed your teeth with that different toothpaste?
How did you know? Oh, my God, Drew. The new CD is out. It is doing real well. I keep hearing the, I don't know what the name of the song is, but the Intuition song on it. Is that the name of the song?
Yep.
It's a nice song.
Bingo.
Yeah. So did you, it seems to me that you want a little more... You got a little diva-ish this time, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean, you know, you got a little less rootsy and a little more poppy. Was that intentional?
Yeah, I really wanted to make a record that was fun, that incorporated the styles of music that I like, dance music, urban grooves with good lyrics that's smart still, and I managed it because I knew we were headed, or we're going to be involved in some way with a war and the state of the economy. I wanted to make a record that sort of did what big band music did for you during the Second World War, which was offer you a sense of escape. And
That's neat.
Things that are okay. Yeah. You can feel passionate. So this is my interpretation of big band music. You know, like when I thought of people crowding to dance halls during the Second World War, it's what I wanted this record to do.
Have you ever done any of that USO stuff, or did they ever ask you?
I have, actually. I went over to Kosovo.
Mm. How was that?
It's really interesting.
Evidently, we're the only people who've never done this.
You and I?
Everyone who comes in here.
I know.
I think they tend to...
Well, they actually approached us a couple months ago.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
Where was I?
It was through the girl from the Best Damn Store.
I didn't hear any of that. Yeah. Let's talk about Jewel going to Kosovo. Yeah. How was that?
It was really interesting. I have an aunt that's in the Marine Corps. She's a captain, and I lived with her in Hawaii.
You have an aunt who's a captain in the Marine Corps?
One of, what, 27 in the country, I think?
Wow.
Yeah.
And you lived with her when she was stationed in Hawaii? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, she was stationed in Hawaii. So I'd been around the military some.
Like when you were a kid?
Yeah, 8th grade.
Wow.
And then when I went over to Kosovo, you can't believe, it's humbling how dedicated these kids are. It's really like the sense of service was so genuine. Like you get so jaded and sort of cynical on this side, and you see how genuine these kids are about it, and it was really moving.
So was it eye-opening? I mean, you had some experience with your aunt and everything, but she was just basking
eye-opening.
In the sun,
you
right?
know, you're you definitely see, you know, a lot of bombed out buildings, a lot of things like that just make you feel good and cheery. And
well, I'm glad. I mean, is it important for you to sort of change gears each time you put out a CD?
I've tried to always just be honest. I like learning a lot. I love to learn. And I've tried to just make records that show where I'm at musically. I've been around 10 years. I've learned a lot about the studio, and I finally knew how to make a record incorporating different styles of music where it would be idiosyncratic to me. It sounds like me, that record. And I also kind of was against dance music for a while. I didn't think it was very... I didn't think you could... I never had good lyrics. I was never really drawn to it. I'm kind of a lyric girl.
Right.
But I realized it was like painting without ever using the, you know, red or yellow. And I got really into it this time. I just really embraced it. And I had a blast. And you can level, you know, layer irony even more using those colors.
You know, albums seem to sort of take on themes or styles. But can you just do an album where you have a dance one and you have a folk thing and you're all over the place?
This record is pretty diverse. I'd say in general, like the feel of this record is what I talked about. I want you to make you feel like you're young and sexy and alive. That somewhere in the world things are okay. But there's a really dark song on there called Haunted. It's about a stalker. Ooh. It's a really, really dark, dark song. And some of it's more like a little bit more folky, but I'd say in general, it's pretty much a new feel.
Did you have a stalker?
I've had it my share.
Is that creepy?
No, it's just fun.
Seems extra creepy to me.
It is extra creepy.
We had a good death threat once. Remember
really?
That?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was weird.
Hmm.
I didn't like it.
No.
The guy knew too much. Mm. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Like disgruntled employee thing?
Mm-hmm.
I still think it was Anderson. Although we met him like 4 years later, so maybe it wasn't him. No. But no, this is when we were doing the TV show.
It'd be creepier if it was him.
Yeah, they're going to follow us home and kill us. And, you know, they have these guys that kind of, it's like security. Like, yeah, we'll drive in the car behind your car until you get home, and then
enjoy.
We'll see you.
Yeah.
Have a good time tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is scary. It's really scary.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, good times. Lisa?
18.
You're 18. What's up?
We're not... Hey, Anderson.
I don't hear anything.
Something's happening
Lisa.
Here, yeah.
All right. Let's try the next one.
Todd? Yeah, we're not hooked in here, Anderson.
Oh. A technical glitch on this show?
Only at the beginning.
I refuse to believe this.
Let's try
this
again.
You got one you want to try? Lisa? All right. I'm just going to push anything.
Carrie?
No, they all sound dead.
Yeah, there's Carrie.
Oh, there's one.
What is up? Anderson says he didn't. And by the way, hold on a second. Anderson always gives us this, hey, I didn't hit anything and it worked, which is good for you, but it's bad overall. You know what I mean? Like,
let us feel like you did something and you saw
it. That's what I mean.
It.
Like, if you're in a plane and the landing gear isn't going down and then all of a sudden it goes down and the pilot and the co-pilot look at you and hold their hands up and go, whoa, serendipity.
All right, I should like lie and say that, yeah, something happened?
No, it's good. It's good for you because you don't get into trouble, but it's bad overall when it comes to the show.
I touched nothing, just let you know.
Lisa? No, Lisa's line is still dead.
Is she there? Is her name really Lisa, maybe? Her name's Lisa. Try to get you. All right. Carrie?
Hello?
Maybe we're not getting through to them.
Whatever.
There, what's going on, Carrie? We're not going through to them, yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to the entire Jewel album.
You guys have come so far in 5 years.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And look at all the new equipment. Look at it all. It's fantastic, isn't it?
I'm surprised you recognize the studio.
It's emerald green for Micah tables.
Yeah, only the best. Beautiful, horrible oak. That's been
so I have this dilemma.
Yeah.
I might do a naked photograph on the cover of a magazine.
Really?
What do we think about that?
Mm. What magazine?
I don't know if I can say. Mm. It's not a smutty one. It's like a reputable rock magazine.
I mean, when you say naked, I mean, you know, there's
ways to do
naked
right. I mean, the way Demi Moore did Pregnant Naked, that was good. I mean, that way you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, like it's nothing like sexy. Like I already shot the photos and I own them, you know what I mean? So like the magazine doesn't own them, so I can either choose now to give them to them or not.
This is not because we need to see them, but can you show us what we're talking about?
I don't have any on me. I'm not getting them actually till midnight tonight, but I saw some Polaroids, and there's like, there's no makeup, it's nothing sweaty, there's no like smoky eye,
I mean,
glossy
but you're covered tastefully kind of thing.
You can't see anything.
Yeah.
You can't anyway for the magazine. It's like a reputable magazine,
why not?
You can't show anything.
Yeah. If you're happy with it.
Well, it's interesting because I've always in my lyrics talked about like I've never wanted to leverage sex to get. I've always been a pretty vain lyricist, you know, like I've always wanted that to be what leverages me, my songwriting.
Can you include any irony in the picture in some way?
They wouldn't let me do anything conceptual where I would write a lyric on my arm or anything like that. I mean, like I said, the pictures aren't sexual, like it's not like a Stuff magazine cover or whatever.
Well, it's not like you have made your career utilizing those sorts of things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It would be the right time to do it just because you want to do it, not because you expect it to get anywhere.
First time to see it. That's
all. No. I'm thinking out loud for you. If it goes wrong, are you prepared for that?
Well, they're tasteful. They're beautiful pictures. They're not like.
What's motivating you to do it? Why do it? What's on the pro? What's on the con?
Well, it's an interesting thing because I've never done it.
You just want to do something you haven't done.
I think it's interesting for that, but there's a lot of pros and cons to it.
Yeah, what's the con? I mean, especially in this day and age.
Well, it's kind of like the selling records right now mean a lot to me in the long scheme of thing. It doesn't really. Like, I want to win the race in 50 years. I'll sell records in 50 years. So it's like credibility is everything.
Don't think of this in terms of I'm going to sell more records. Think of it as a separate decision.
Right. It's sometimes just hard to separate the two because the magazine's doing it to sell magazines. You know what I mean? So it's like one of those.
But in general, don't you think you're taking, I don't want to say reinventing yourself.
Yeah.
But in a way, you're taking, definitely. I mean, just like your music would change from CD to CD, so might your look or your vibe or your style or your whatever.
Yeah.
So isn't this just part of that journey?
Yeah.
And then when you sort of go back and 50 years from now, as you said.
Make sure if you were to tell your grandkids, it would be something you could say. You know,
right.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, but you would want that too, though, right?
Well, here's what I'm saying. There's like two types of artists. You have your sort of Madonna-type artists where you go back and you look through their career and you see all the different changes and all the different phases. Mm-hmm. And one day, whenever that point comes in her life, when she sits down and does it, she'll see a million different looks and a million different styles. And then there's this type that, you know, I don't know, Joni Mitchell. You get a little older and you get a little grayer and you slowly... Mm-hmm. Slowly move one direction, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Older.
Yeah.
Or that's the direction.
You inch toward the grave. But I guess the question is what do you want to look back on?
Mm-hmm. It's just that I want everything to feel like it was authentic and for authentic reasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah, whatever. Take the clothes off. You already took the picture, right?
Yeah.
It's important. Here's what you're looking for. You can't show any nipple,
right?
But you still want guys to be able to masturbate. That's the criteria. That's tasteful nudity. That's tasteful, right, Drew?
Nudity might, but your statement wasn't.
All right. Well, let's see. And also, I find, women definitely. I've not met a woman who does not want to be desired. Mm-hmm. Or looked at as sexual, even if it's not their entire, doesn't encompass their entire being. They do, most women, every woman I've ever met likes that and enjoys that, wants to indulge in that.
Either.
Well, guys want women to want to be with them.
Right.
They just don't care why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's absolutely
true. A sack of cocaine or a sack of $100 bills or whatever it is. We'll figure it out. We'll rationalize it in our head. But just as long as they like us. It's even kind of better. Once in a while you hear guys do this. They don't do it in front of women. They'll go like, I'm fat, I'm bald, and I still get laid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I do hear that a lot.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that guy. Lisa?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
You're 18. What's up?
I want to talk to Jewel because she's the greatest.
Here she is.
Hey.
I was just wondering, what inspired you to write God's Gift to Women? Because that is like a really dirty song, and it just, you know.
How'd you get it?
I was looking around on Jewel fan sites online.
Uh-huh.
I was like, ooh, this sounds like a good song, and then I illegally downloaded it.
Atta girl. I was in Southern California, had a car that broke down all the time. It's the first car I lived in. It was a little Datsun station wagon, 5'10 hatchback, leaf green.
Yeah.
And it blew tires out all the time, and it did it on the freeway, and I hitchhiked to the closest gas station, and the first car that pulled over was this truck. And I got in very naively. I grew up hitchhiking in Alaska. I didn't think it was that bad to do in California. And he seemed really nice. He took me to the gas station, called the tow truck, and he offered to take me back. And on the way back, we're on a 6-lane freeway, and we're driving along. And he's like, yeah, so welcome to California. You know, in the June, it gets a little foggy in the mornings, but it burns off by noon. Can I see your...
Whoa.
Wow.
And I was like, holy... Like, I was horrified. It was like the worst, you know, your worst nightmare coming true. I didn't know how to respond. I was just petrified. And I just sat there like, what am I? I mean, do you throw yourself out the window? Do you charge him? I mean, what do you do?
Are you going 60 miles an hour?
Yeah, I couldn't have jumped out. And we're in the middle lane. You know, even if I did jump out, it would have been splat from another car. And so I was just quiet. And he looks at me like, what? And he goes, you don't have to get all weird about it.
I like the guy gets on the offense. I like that. What's the matter, baby? You uptight?
Yeah. So I was like, no. And he goes, fine. I go, okay. And I got out of the car. Like, that was it.
He just let you out?
Yeah, he just let me out. And so I wrote this song called My Own Private God's Gift to Women, and it's like, would you like to jam your tongue down my throat? Would you like to grab my thigh? I've got the perfect grab me size. I've waited my whole life for some slime ball like you to come along.
Hold
I'm so
on
desperate,
one
I do you and your mom. You know, you're my own private God's gift to women, my own private God. It's basically like, what do these guys think? This is, you know, what a girl thinks. Like, oh, God, finally you came along. You slime ball, you get over here.
I got to
grope me.
I'm looking at Anderson's face because Jewel said
the T word,
but that's art. You can't censor that. That was in the form of a lyric. The S word, that was only half an S word, and that was during the explanation of art. That was the lead up to art. Here's the thing. The art itself cannot be censored. The lead in and the end part of art cannot be censored either.
That's right.
Yeah. Drew knows.
I will now censor my
That's all right. Hey, Lisa.
Yeah?
Thanks for calling.
No problem.
Bye.
All right. Let's talk to Carrie, who's 22. Carrie?
Yeah.
What's up?
Nothing. I had a question, and Joel may be able to answer it. I just, I wondered if masturbation by, like, jacuzzi jets or hot tub jets, if that would be harmful at all or cause infections or problems by the water in the pressure.
Jewel, do you have any insights to this? One time she was hitchhiking in a,
in a jacuzzi.
Well, it was one of those limos that had the jacuzzi in it.
Yeah, of course. Listen,
Drew, what about this?
You can certainly, any time you monkey around yourself, you can cause a urine infection. So just like with any other pressure on the outside or around there, you can get a urine infection.
But there's stuff for that. Have fun.
That's right. Yeah. It's very unlikely, and it's a perfectly safe thing to do.
Okay.
It's not much different than the tub version of what we're talking about.
Which we recommend. Tub
you should see his hands, guys. I
don't know what that
is. He did the girl masturbation hand. It was like shocking. He had the middle finger tacked down. It was really horrifying.
I don't know what it's up. Women, it's like they got a water wheel between their legs. Like, I don't know what the big deal about the hydro pressure is, but apparently it seems to be a universal... all women women disagree on everything except for that part.
The water.
They like the water in that area. What is, I don't know what that is. Guys, nothing in it for us.
No.
But it was
because you guys have your whole hand.
It's true. What's that?
Would it be harmful more like, is it okay just, to let the water go over it, just brush alongside
it? It's all fine.
Or is it harmful to just, like, put it up there
whatever
and
let the
water, like, go in it real hard?
Whatever you need to do is fine.
Yeah.
And it won't hurt you anyway.
Adam had a friend that would put his anus up to those jets. He did.
Well, yeah, but again, that was art.
But describe.
That was art.
Describe.
No,
come on.
I don't think water can be harder than other hard things anyway.
He'd fill himself up and then expel it out. It was sort of entertainment. It wasn't. We were in high school.
He had a jacuzzi jet in and a jacuzzi jet out.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. We used to break into this club that was on top of some hill and, kids. Kids. What do they think of next?
He told me this story a couple times. I became suddenly realized the sort of vivid nature of this when he said, oh, yeah, he'd walk by and just unleash on your head.
Well, that's depending on where you were. But, Drew, you got to understand, when you were a kid, you wore the knickers, you had that hoop, and you ran down a dirt road, keeping it going with a stick.
That, what do they call it?
Yeah. Well, we put
Jiro wheel, something like that.
Jiro wheel. We put jacuzzi jets in our ass. Who knows what our kids are going to be doing?
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right. Lasers in the ass. I don't know.
Perhaps. Dan?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
But they will still be lighting farts, won't they?
Oh, hi. I was wondering what Jewel thought about downloading songs.
Sounds like Tad.
She sort of answered it.
Does he sound like Tad?
Would you shut up? No one knows who Tad is.
What I think about downloading songs, it's really changed things a lot. The only thing I'd like to tell people is just to know it really does affect things.
Because the quality is not that good when you download a song compared to when you buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I buy an album, it's a lot better. And if you're a true fan, I think it's better to buy an album. And I bought your album on the Apple website.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good.
Cool, thanks. I like making records. I'm one of the old-fashioned artists. Like, I think every song on the record should be your best. And I like to sequence them because I think that the order you hear them in affects how you hear them. So when you download one song, I feel like you don't get the whole experience of how the whole record comes together. Plus, you don't get, like, I like to write notes and all the packaging. But downloading has really affected the business. I make my money off of publishing. That's my ware.
Oh, really?
And so as you download, the way I'm able to make my money... it dries up. Like, I'm having to find other ways to make money, and you're going to see artists turn to advertising more because you have to.
In terms of selling their songs?
No, in terms of being able to get money off of your image, basically.
But
kids need to realize that, like, they want their cake and eat it, too, is what I'm finding. Like, they don't want my song to be on the shit commercial, but they want to download my music, and I have to do. If I'm going to keep supporting charitable things, if I'm going to keep spending money on putting water in Africa, I need to... I need to have money to do it, and if I can't make money because kids are downloading, then I need to make another way, and I think kids need to get comfortable with that.
I have two questions. One is, and I don't know if you have an answer to this, but you said you're talking about those sort of filler songs, and
for commercials, you mean?
No, filler songs in the album.
Right,
okay.
Especially, I mean, back in the day, I guess it still goes on, but you could tell. the song that the artist just almost just puts zero effort into. I mean, a lot of albums used to have this.
It still goes
that way. So here's what I'm saying. If you have let's say 10, 12 really killer songs, and you just know that that the lion's share of these songs are just stellar, could be hits, would you or would one save three or four of those for the next album and work on a few so-called filler songs, saying, I got an album here, it's got six strong songs on it already, this is going to do great, I'm going to save these other four for the next one?
Only if you have no cojones.
Really?
I think so. I think if you're a good writer, you shouldn't be afraid that you're not going to write better next time.
Put everything into every CD.
Yeah, that's just afraid. That's just, you know, and I understand the tendency because I've thought the exact same thing. Like, boys are good, I'm going to be able to save it. But I've always just found that you outgrow that phase anyway, and it might have been a good song then, but by the next year it's completely irrelevant.
And what about, you're talking about advertisement and actually, you know, physically doing it, but what about, like, licensing songs for things?
That can work. It's not as much money. Selling records is a great thing, you know. It still is where I'm able to make money as a songwriter or getting cuts on somebody else's record. Airplay helps. Licensing can help. It doesn't add up the same.
All right. We're going to hear something off Jewel's new CD, 0304, which is out as we speak. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey. Jewel is here, everybody. New CD, 0304. Is that how you say it?
It is.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of the
Dr. Drew says you weren't very smart.
Who, me? I did a...
I just said you can't read.
Took an IQ test the other day. I got 91. Yeah, people... you know, actually, you know, the scariest part about getting a 91 on an IQ test is people's serious, sympathetic tone. That's where it gets scary. Like when you're sort of wallowing in your own stupidity, it's one thing. But when then people come up and they get sort of falsely supportive, that doesn't mean anything. Yeah. You're still, you know what?
And then pick up something. You're special.
You drive a stick shift, right? Yes, I do. Well, there's something. Yeah, it then becomes real condescending, and now you realize, well, maybe people think you're stupid. But, no, I got what you call street smarts, right, Drew?
Yeah, that's what you call that.
Yeah. 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 All right, so what are we talking about? Jules here, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
We hear a song.
Let me ask you guys a question, though, speaking of street smarts. Actually, that's nothing to do with it, but I was driving on the street today, so it has something to do with the street. I saw an old guy walking an old dog, and I see a lot of old guys, when they don't have pets that often, but when they go out and walk them, it's always, the dog seems to be in worse shape than they are, which is always kind of comical. And then I think to myself, well, sure, he's an old guy. That's why he has an old dog. And then I think, but dogs live to like 14 and a half.
Yeah.
Why do old guys have old dogs? Like, it's not the dog the guy had on the farm in Wisconsin in 1937. Why does the dog have to be old? Like, he means the dog was a puppy when the guy was old.
Because...
Does everyone... Like, if you make it to 63, do you get a new dog?
I think this how it works. You're not going to get a new dog at 85.
No.
Okay, so if you're going to have a dog, it's not going to be young.
And when
you're 70, you don't go out and walk.
Is that what it is?
You're doing other stuff. But 85, you go walking.
Do you?
And if you're going to go walking, it's not going to be with a young dog because you ain't going to have a young dog.
I don't know, Drew,
after the divorce and the children ended up hating them and the wife left, they wanted to have a companion and they got a dog and it grew old with them the last 15 years of their life.
See, that's the prime divorce years there in the late 60s.
I know. You guys have floated some spurious theories as to why this is true. I just find it a strange phenomenon. And I think it's not to draw attention to the guy's oldness.
Yet it ends up doing just that.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like, and then I started thinking, well, everything's old. The sofa's old. The car's old.
I think it's just to make everybody driving by feel like, oh my God, I'm going to get old like that. I think that's like a conspiracy to make you feel scared.
It almost, it seemed like the dog had been like stuffed, mounted, and had wheels put on it. Like little small rollers put in its paws. Because the guy's dragging the dog and the guy's 83. I like a good old dog, though. Like, and then when they start breaking down, like when people have the dog and they go, he's deaf or he can't see out of one eye or something. It's hysterical to me.
Good time.
All right. What are we doing? You want to hear a song? Yeah. Yeah. No, let's take one call, all then right. We'll hear some. Right. Brandon?
Hello?
Yeah.
I have a theory, too, for your old guy, old dog.
Go ahead.
Maybe he got the dog when his wife died.
Yeah, ooh. But no. Because the guy's not
no,
bad.
No, the wives don't die when they're 70.
Yeah. She's not.
He dies.
Right. He dies.
70.
Had this great conversation with my
trainer.
I had this conversation with my grandmother because she's like 92, and all there is a bunch of women, bunch of old women left, and all the guys are dead. And she said, "Oh yeah, you go to those nursing homes. There's 25 women for every one guy."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Wow." Well,
it's evolution.
That's great. I'm going to be that one guy. What a great thing it would be to be that one guy with 25 women living in the house. And she goes, you'll probably be one of the guys that passed on.
You won't be that guy.
You won't be that guy. You'll be in the ground long before then, grandson. Yeah, that's nice. Thanks, Granny.
Thanks.
Feeling good about myself. What did Brandon want? Brandon?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your question?
Well, my question is ejaculate, nothing comes out.
Mm-hmm. Are you on medication?
No, I'm not.
Really?
Is it because you do it too often?
No. That's one
part. Well, something would come out at the first time.
I mean, if you... Yeah. Nothing ever comes out.
Very, very rarely.
It's like a smokeless cigarette.
Anything else about you we should know? Unusual?
Not that I can really think of. Nothing really changed.
Does the semen come out a little later? Like when you urinate, that sort of thing?
Not that I notice.
Does your urine look more cloudy after you masturbated? Observe that next time. This is probably something called retrograde ejaculation, where when you ejaculate, instead of coming out, it goes back up towards the bladder.
Yeah, makes you gay.
Medication is one of the things that they can do that. But the tantric sex people would have you believe that this is a wonderful thing because you don't release your chi.
Right.
It just sits in your bladder.
No, I'd like my chi out.
Yeah, I understand
that. And how long has this been this way your whole life?
No, about the last 4 months.
Yeah, I would have that looked into. And nothing else going on? No back problems?
No, nothing else.
No numbness or tingling?
Strange or...
And you never did anything? You never held yourself or pushed up on your perineum or anything to try to get it to do that?
No.
Hmm. All right. Well, you need to see a urologist just to make sure things are okay.
Whatever you did, I'd like to do it to myself. I like that.
It's a good concept.
It's no good? Does it feel good?
No. It's like no release.
You don't have the sensation of the orgasm?
It kind of starts, but then, nothing comes out, so it's like...
Wait a minute. You're not having
an
orgasm.
You're not having an orgasm.
You're not having an orgasm. Totally different.
You're not having the orgasm.
Well, when you have an orgasm, then you can't really go on.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah.
Well, you got a refractoriness, but you don't actually have the orgasm. Well,
and he doesn't get the full sensation.
Thing. That's a different thing.
So what is it?
That can be a lot of things. Now you need to see a regular doctor.
Maybe you just need a jump start, like kicks you in the ass when you're coming.
Is it the same when you have normal sex?
That's mostly what I have is just normal sex. I'm married.
Oh, braggart.
I mean, this can be anything from thyroid disease to brain tumor. I mean, nothing.
Drew just tosses the brain tumor.
But I mean, it can be a lot of things.
That's nice, Drew. Just drop the BT bomb. Yeah, common cold, brain tumor, lung cancer. Yeah,
it's probably none of those things.
Yeah, just medevaced into your local surgeon's office. Get CAT scan. All right?
Start Brandon. The regular doctor?
Yeah, start the regular doctor.
Yes, just a general screen.
Yeah, just work your way.
And tell them what has been happening.
Yeah.
You don't have orgasms. You nearly climax, but then it stops.
Yeah, but maybe he has a sensation.
He has a refractoriness. But if you nearly orgasm, you're going to likely have a little refractoriness.
Really?
You can, yeah.
You know what the worst one is? You chicks don't have this, I don't think. That one where you go, like, oh, no, I'm not going to, I didn't even get to concentrate on it. You know what it's like? It's like eating something bad for you while you're talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Like sometimes someone calls and you're eating like a drumstick or something, a donut. And then you realize, you hang up the phone and you go, I just ate that whole goddamn donut, didn't even know it. I was yapping with my mom on the phone. I got zero enjoyment out of that donut. I want that donut back. That's what that orgasm is,
yeah,
Drew.
That's it. That's what it is.
All right.
Take
there's
another call.
No, we got to play a song.
Okay.
We got to play a song.
Then we'll take some calls.
We gotta move units because we got to get some water into in the Sudan. I mean, you understand. You do philanthropical endeavors, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to make money, you got to move product. So we're going to hear something off the new Jewel CD. Anderson, where are you? You ready to rock? All right. This is Intuition. Jewel. She's in studio. 0304, name of the CD. We were just chatting during the song about Jewel's Alaskan roots. And any good Alaskan stories? I don't know anything about Alaska other than the it's dark.
You get paid to live in Alaska.
Oh, yeah. We did talk about that.
Yeah. It's not to live there. It's off the oil.
But they pay you if you live there.
Off the pipeline?
Yeah. Off the pipeline, yeah.
It's incredible.
But it's
very
a stipend,
eccentric people
right?
are up there. It's like one of my neighbors was a bearded belly dancer.
Oh, really?
A woman. And then there's a guy named Stinky that lived underground. He built an underground house, and a refrigerator lying on its back was the door, so it opened like a coffin, basically, and he'd come walking out because he believed there was going to be a nuclear fallout.
Is it?
There was a shootout over a stallion, and one guy got killed, and the other guy did not go to jail. You know,
wow.
He just got to keep the stallion.
Everyone has got a story in that.
You know, it's
safe.
A bizarre
You walk down
place.
Anchorage, the moose walk right down the middle of the street with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Aren't they dangerous?
Everyone's like, eh.
True. Everyone just makes those Jewish grunting noises. Hey, fast. <Yeah. laughs> A lot of Jews in the town you grew up in?
Actually, yeah.
Really? No yeah. way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes.
They say feh to that cold and that dark 24/7 over there. It to me, it seems like a place that there's a lot of people that sit around and sort of think about. I guess they get nostalgic or they romanticize the past, like the day. Not so many laws. The man's not looking. There's not a camera at every intersection.
That's Alaska.
And an ATM on every corner, and they want to go back and find that life for themselves.
Yeah, my boyfriend's a cowboy, and he went up there, and he couldn't believe it was literally like going back 100 years in time. Mm-hmm. You know,
wow.
Pistols, batting shaps.
And when is it? When is it dark? And now it gets dark, and then it's light, right? I mean, it stays
well,
light
like
for
anywhere.
A long time.
You have the summer and winter equinox, so you gain and lose minutes.
But you gain and lose a lot
we
of
use
minutes,
a lot
right?
Of minute. Yeah, we just gain and lose a lot more.
So at its zenith, the solstice or whatever it is. Dark and
June
light. 21st, what is it? Something like that. When is it the lightest, the longest, and how long is that? When is it the darkest?
Summer solstice
longest?
And winter solstice.
June 21st, the lightest, the longest.
Yeah. What is the winter solstice?
But is that the whole day?
December 21st.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. Is
September
that? Is it dark 24 hours that day? Is it dark 21 hours?
It gets dusky, maybe. Like during the day, it might get dusky for a few hours. The way it would, like after the sun went down, it's pretty dark. You know, that's as light as it'll get.
Oh, it just sounds brutal. Brutally cold.
And then you got the northern lights and stuff going.
Mm-hmm.
And then going from there to San Diego, I mean, you
Whoa.
Couldn't find
yeah.
a bigger chasm between two environments, really, could you?
I lived in Michigan for a couple years going to school and took a train across the country. That's when I wrote my first record, actually.
So you went Alaska,
and
Michigan,
I ended up in
San Diego
just kind of as an accident.
So Michigan was like...
I lived in Hawaii for that year, too. That was probably
that's
the worst.
That's further away. Okay. Yeah, that's further.
All right.
And the culture, you know,
yes.
the Hawaiian kids beating you up all the time.
What?
They don't like
it's
the
local
Howleys.
Kids. They don't like the Howleys, yeah.
Not, they don't... Listen, I have to explain it. Wasn't I telling you last night? Hawaiians are like animals. They're part bear. They're the dumbest people
No,
they
rally against the other schools and break, you know, nuns' ribs and pastors' arms. And really.
Drew, didn't I tell you last night that I believe that most Hawaiians didn't know they were on an island?
Yes, you said that.
It's a block
that's
of land.
That's the world. No, that's the whole world.
Oh, the whole world. That's right. That's what we figured. The world is surrounded by water.
Yeah.
And a mysterious steel bird flies in every 15 minutes and drops off people in shorts. They're retarded people. You know they're stupid. They have one word has to mean 35 things. We have words
so
that mean half a thing. Yes, I know they're dumb. And here's they're everything you hate in a bully: dumb and powerful.
Yeah,
like. Guy with calves as wide around as a tree trunk and has a little pebble sized brain
without the capacity to have self preservation.
Yes, this
That's
is a very
serious.
This and likes to booze it up. This is a dangerous breed. We got to go over there. Have we colonized that place yet?
Yeah, we're trying to get them all to smoke pot.
Yes, we got to mellow them out. That's right. All right, little Don Ho for you. Let me hear him say it one more time, Andy.
Mahalo.
It's funny. Don Ho was on the show and I said. Don, you got a lot of land over there in Hawaii? He's like, you know, they don't answer. They have good grunt and bad grunt. You know, they're like bears, you know? You know when they're mad. You know when they want their belly rubbed. And I'm like, Don, you grow a lot of weed on that land of yours? And he's like, All right, Jewel is here. We will take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jewel is in studio tonight. The new CD is out, and We're going to take some more calls. Here's one for Joel. It's Gerard. He's 29. Gerard?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, what's up? Drew?
Yeah.
Bonsoir. Comment
ça va? Ça va bien.
Oui.
Avec toi?
Oh, très bien, très bien.
Hold on. Did he call me an asshole?
Oui.
Did he call me an asshole?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Asshole.
Gerard. All right. What's up?
Oh, not much. Just kicking now.
What?
From the heat here.
Are you Canadian? Are you French?
Yes. I already told you last time I was Canadian.
Oh, we spoke to you last time?
Mm-hmm.
Still with the attitude. Even the French Canadians have attitude. All right. You know, as French Canadians act like they got the Eiffel Tower and the good cooking. You guys don't got anything. You got moose and curling over there. You got nothing.
It comes to Canada first, then.
Doucement.
All right. Talk to Jewel.
Okay. A question for Jewel. I want to clarify something. When I used to live in Los Angeles, I heard something like when you came from Alaska, you were living in Hollywood out of your van. Is that true or not?
That is true.
It is true. Okay.
I lived in a car for about a year.
Okay. That was the 510 station wagon?
It was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first house.
And then I got a VW bus, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, because you did great, and you are right now with your new style. I think it's pretty nice also.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I like it much. And this is for you, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you went to the hospital, did you give up your underwear or not?
Yeah, Drew, what about it?
Yes, gave it right up.
I don't like giving up the underpants when you go to the hospital. I mean, I had hand surgery, and they needed my underpants. And I was like, look, how much further away from my joint could you get? You know, I was stretched out like Christ. They took my arm, and they taped it down to a big, long sandwich board, and they operated on my palm. And they needed my underpants.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go for that, Drew. They said it could catch on fire. They were trying to screw with me. Like, what would get this retard to give us his underpants? Tell him they might catch on fire while he's asleep. But Drew had to give up his underpants because he got hernia surgery. So they definitely got
a hernia.
A hernia surgery. That's how I pronounced it for 35 years. Kelsey?
Hi.
You're 19. What's up?
I just had a question about my my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, Julie, you're wonderful. And
thank
you guys crack me up.
Thanks.
After he finishes, after I've either given him head or after we've had intercourse, he's still hard. And even if we do it a few times, he's still hard. And I was just wondering, like, maybe how many guys that affects or other guys. He's actually the first guy I've been with, as far as intercourse goes. But other guys that I've gone down on, they have kind of gone soft, and I was just kind of wondering what the deal was.
How old is he?
He's 14. A few months younger than me.
No, well, 18-19-year-old guys can do that.
That's what you do.
They can keep going and go a few times.
But if he's 30, marry him.
Yeah, 30, that guy, Ripley's, believe it or not.
Yeah, and it means he's India, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead and take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
He's excited by you.
Well, I figure as much. I mean, it was curious because it hasn't happened with all the other guys, so.
Yeah. All right.
Just wanted to see what the deal was.
Well, it's funny, it's like girls should take that as a compliment, but instead you'll be like, maybe it don't satisfy
anything.
Yeah. Like,
anything
different, you know what I mean? He's still horny. You know?
Yeah. Plus, it's like the penis that wouldn't die.
I mean, God bless.
Wouldn't go away.
Yeah. At a certain point, you'd like the blood to get out of it and move toward his legs and let him go in the fridge. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like you ran over a deer, so you go and want to put it out of its misery, and it just won't die. Just keep hitting it with that bat. All right.
You're scaring me.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. It's not like, I've never done that, though, by the way. It was a human being.
Oh, wow.
Mickey?
Yeah, hi, Adam.
You're 29?
Yes.
What's up?
Have a question for Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you on a show on, I think it was on PBS, where it was a performance of Wizard of Oz, and you played Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
It was really unique, and you did a fantastic job. How did you get into that? How did that come together? So there were a lot of musicians in it, weren't there?
Yeah, it was an all-star cast, and at the time I wasn't a star. It was funny. It was like Roger Daltrey and Nathan Lane. And
you were a star. I mean,
Jackson Brown.
That
no.
Wasn't that long ago, was it? About 4 years?
It was before Who'll Save Your Soul. Losing track of time. Oh, I was 20 years old.
Wow. Oh, maybe I saw it. Maybe they rerun it or something. All the time. And I saw it later on.
You're allowed that one.
Okay, thanks. And then I killed the deer with a bat. Killed it. Blood in the moonlight. It turns blue, you know. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So
the guy, anyway, I did an NPR interview, and for some reason, I guess because it came from Alaska, the director happened to be listening to the radio, and he thought, I embodied Dorothy.
Wow.
So I got the gig.
Yeah, and you really did a great job. I've never seen you do any kind of acting like that ever, you know, before or since.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy it. I've always had a problem with Broadway because of the time commitment. Don't psychoanalyze me. It's just 3 or 4 months, you know, doing the same play over and over. I was never sure if I could do, but I'm starting to think about it again. It's kind of cute on that song, and Over the Rainbow, I really choke up. Did you hear that?
No.
If you listen to the song Over the Rainbow, I choke up. I start to sing up high, and I just, like, my eyes just fill with tears because it just sort of hit me where I was. It was in, you know, Lincoln Center. It was really cool.
Hey, Mickey? Mickey, we got to take a break. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Good question, though.
Where
that's enough. We got to run. Jewel's only going to be in here for the first hour, so this is it. So, Jewel, thank you.
Au revoir.
We'll see you in 2011.
Sounds good.
And much success to you. 0304, name of the CD. We'll be right back. Loveline. Love that craft work. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. There's Dr. Drew. I'm me, and Jewel has left the building. All right. Well, it'd been a while since we've seen her. Drew says it's like a new person.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't recognize her. Not physically, but she seems much different.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way.
Just different
from the last time we saw her. Whereas, like, I think we're just the same, but worse.
Older.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I hadn't seen that Toyota Camry in 5 years. Looks the same. It's got some miles on it.
Yeah.
A couple cigarette burns in the upholstery.
There you go, same.
No, it's just like, you guys seem like teenagers.
Oh. Yeah.
Your voices are, like, old.
And that, by the way, that was like, if
that was 5 years ago.
When Madison Avenue cast a voice for a teenage girl, that was it.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, it's just like...
Actually, sort of sounds a little like Tara. Don't call me Tara, goddammit.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. A little bit. Let's hear one more time. One more time. You got it, Anderson?
No, it's just like, you guys seem like teenagers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your voices are like old.
Love that cadence.
Yeah. I think my voice is old. Wait to see my balls.
Oh.
They're in their 90s. Oh.
My
balls look like the chin of an old Chinaman. Hey, Chance?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
You're 27. What's up?
Yeah, the wife, she's read something in some magazine about rubbing the prostate, making it a lot better. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if there's any validity to that.
No.
All right, we'll put him on hold because his connection's bad.
We talked about this last night with the Berman
sisters. We talk about it every night. It might.
For some guys. Might do a little something.
If you're wondering, give it a shot. It's not going to kill you.
No.
But, I don't. And like we talked about last night, I've never had the finger in the cooch. And I know I don't like it in advance. I know. I don't like it like when I'm looking. You ever go to... You go to a fair or an amusement park, and you just stand there and stare at one of those spin-outs or something like that, or whatever it is, the zipper, some coaster, or whatever, and you just look at it, and you go, no, not for me. And then people go, you got to get on it. And you're looking at it, and you go, no, not my bag. I close my eyes, I picture a finger going up my ass, and I go, no, I'm just standing in front of the zipper at the county fair
Let's think about it this way. Guys are like raging rhinos, like, you know, like freight trains going after the things they want to make things better for them sexually. Don't you think they would have put this on the list if it were something important to them? I mean,
yeah.
They go stuff like crazy after things. You know, you cannot stop them from the things that they want to get, you know, more girls, better girls.
I mean, guys are the guys are the guys who are at a strip party. They're at a bachelor party, and there's three naked chicks, and they got a three-ended dildo, and they're screaming it on. They're squirting whipped cream on everybody.
You got to bring something up and convince a guy that something's going to make things better. No.
That's a good point. Like,
no.
What else do you have to talk a guy into sexually?
If it's going
to
make him feel better. He would have found it already, and he would have been insisting you do it.
That's a good point.
Come on.
Thank you, Drew. You're a true pioneer and a man of exquisite passion.
Exquisite, thank you.
What name is that, Drew? Echo?
Echo.
Echo?
Hey, what's up, guys?
You're 16?
Yeah, what's going on?
Nothing much. What's up with you?
Hey, I have a lot of respect for both of you, so it's just great to talk to you.
You have a what?
A lot of respect for both of us.
A lot of respect for both of you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, I'm 16. Anyway, my band was playing a show a couple months ago, and I met this girl, and she was, like, totally awesome, and so I gave her my number, and she called me. And anyway, it's coming down to, you know, we're getting really close.
You and the girl?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Is this Echo of Echo and the Bunnymen?
No, it's, I don't know. I get that a lot. It's Echo, Akko, Echo. Yeah, it's E-K-K-O. It's, I don't know. It's weird.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah, anyway.
I was just dating myself with I consider a newer band.
Anyway, it's coming down to, you know, we're making the decision to have sex or not.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of weeks ago, we were talking on the phone, and she was basically explained to me that she was molested when she was about 11.
Okay.
And I want to know if this is a good idea to follow through on.
Or well, no. How old is she?
Back off.
How old is she?
14.
Back off.
Ooh, 14.
Back off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who did this to her? Did she tell you?
It's her older brother.
Back off. Oh, boy.
Okay, yeah.
What's going to happen then if, you know, if what should I tell her?
Well, how long have you been dating?
We haven't been dating. We've just...
been talking?
Hooking up.
Hooking up?
Excuse me?
What have you been doing?
Well, we've gone to a couple concerts together, gone to the movies, etc.
That's not dating?
No, not really.
What would dating be?
You're 16, she's 14, you've gone to a couple of concerts, a couple of movies. Isn't that dating?
Yeah, but she's not the only girl I've done stuff with. I mean...
All right. Listen, Wiseacre. Break up with her then. You got somebody else, and you're seeing them currently.
Right.
You're 16. What do you got going? What do you need to do? That's wise ass. He's in a band. He thinks he's hot stuff. Look, break up with her then.
I'm not going out with her though. You can't break up with somebody. You're not.
All right. Well, then don't. Then it's fine. You don't have to break up with her. What's up with
that? But she's going to become obsessed with you and begin following.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. And if you have sex with her, you're going to be damaging her.
Yeah,
it's going to be a post-traumatic stress reaction when you leave. It's going to be bad news.
Is there anything worse than a 16-year-old guy who thinks he's cool?
No.
Is there anything less appealing?
Uh-uh.
I'm in a band. My name's Echo. Oh, we're not going out. We're not going out. We're not going out. He just kept baiting us until we said, why aren't you? Because I'm going out with somebody else, too. Good. Have fun riding out your life at the Home Depot. Mark?
Hey, what's up?
You're 26?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First off, I've been listening to you guys for like 6-7 years. You rock.
Thanks.
I got a problem.
All right.
I lose interest in women pretty quick. And, like, you know, I'll meet somebody and I'll be all into them. Mm-hmm. And if we have sex right away, then generally I'm done right there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So having sex with them spoils it somehow.
Well, it's like I'm just out on a mission, you know, and once I score, I'm moving on to the next game.
All right, well...
So you weren't into them in the first place, you're just trying to get laid.
Look,
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, this has been going on for about 2 years now. You know, my buddies are like, dude, you got problems, man. And I don't know. It just... If I'm dating somebody and she won't give it up, and, like, within a couple of weeks, I, like, just, you know, that's not worth my time.
All right, his horrible connection.
And if she gave it up within the 2 week period, he would have been out sooner.
Right.
That's the irony.
Okay. Certain guys are built this way. Actually, there's two types of guys that end up this way. There are the guys who end up this way because that's just how they're constructed, and then there are the guys who are this way because they can be this way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys would, I mean, look, let's mm-hmm. face it. A lot of guys, if they're in some popular band and they had a bunch of money and a bunch of cool pad and a bunch of cars and stuff, they would just live this life in their mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a guy who wouldn't take advantage of that. So he's in his mid-20s. He seems to be able to do this, and he's doing it. I don't know that you can... there's two ways to stop this. A, you just grow out of it.
Right.
It's like some sort of... It's like something that gets depleted.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have a mayonnaise jar full of jizz and testosterone and a little Tabasco, and each time you go through a woman, you take a teaspoon and take a teaspoon out of it. If you go through enough women, you get tired. Eventually, you'll get to the bottom of this jar. You'll be in your early 30s, and you'll say, F it. If you never get to the bottom of it, you're just a dick,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. And then the joke's on you.
Mm-hmm.
You never really find any of that true bliss. The other thing is some guys are this way because their moms were horrible or their dads were horrible.
Trauma survivors. It's really sexual compulsion at that point.
Yeah. If that's the case, then you got to look into it. If there was no trauma, then just go ahead and do whatever you want with whoever you want for as long as you want to do it. And when you meet the right woman, you settle down. Also, I do believe that these guys, if they ever got a serious piece of tail, I mean, he's, you know, I don't know what he's, let me find out what he does for them. Mark?
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a loan consultant.
Loan consultant.
And that's the other thing. Recently, just in the last 2 years, I started making, like, you know, a lot of money. But how much you pay in taxes a year?
You start.
So now I've got like all my employees and
how much you make a year?
He makes as much as you pay in taxes.
How much is that?
I believe you said $320, $350, something like that.
No.
A lot more.
A lot more. A lot, probably three times that. Yeah. You kill yourself if you were me.
Whatever.
All right.
You were going to where, you know, if I had a serious piece of tail, would I hang on to it? And I recently had that, and we were together for like 16, 18 months, something like that. My longest relationship.
Oh, well, if you
But
hold on. If you recently had a relationship that went on for a year and a half and you're 26.
That's pretty good.
This is not a big issue for you.
You're capable of a relationship.
Right, but when we started getting serious, I told her, you know, I'm not ready to settle down. I'm just kind of having fun. So she just accepted that because she liked me so much. And eventually she got tired of it and said, fuck. See you later.
All right. Well, with the F word.
That's because Jewel was using the S word over and over. I figure what the hell.
There's a loan consultant. He's dropping the F bomb. All right. Now, didn't you hate Mark after talking to him a little bit more? Mm-hmm. These guys are always dicks. They're basically just calling going, I can do what I want with chicks. I make a lot of bread, so I kind of like to broadcast that over the air. So I'm gonna sort of couch it like it's a problem, but then I'm just going to argue with you and contradict myself by saying I had an 18-month relationship and she dumped me.
Because she got tired of my BS.
Yeah. All right. Just go do what you want to do. Who cares? Screw a bunch of chicks and eventually get one pregnant. Who cares?
We could go down and find out why he has such problems with intimacy.
He's a loan consultant. He's a guy. Obviously, he's a sociopath.
Oh.
Please.
Boring.
Mark, just enjoy yourself. Keith?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
My girlfriend, well, ex-girlfriend now, she just found out that she had herpes.
Harpies.
Harpies.
Herpes.
Right?
The Marx Brothers STD.
Yeah.
But,
Harpies.
We stopped having sex about a week before she found out.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's been about 2 months now. And I was wondering how long it would take to show if I had any symptoms or anything at all.
About 2 weeks.
More or less, right?
I like that music, y'all.
Yeah, I know. Your dad's playing the banjo.
Commence be along 2 weeks.
About two.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Was that... Southern accent was so strong, I didn't know if he dropped the S-bomb or not. Can you read intent into a sound, Anderson? I mean, if it was, you could barely understand what the guy was saying, so how could he swear?
I should have cut everything he said.
All right.
Well, it's...
When does herpes kick in?
I've seen it as quickly as one day, but 2 weeks to serve it as a classic. But let me talk to him again. How could he not have it or not have given it to her mm-hmm. and her suddenly develop it?
Uh-huh.
Keith?
Yeah?
Where'd she get it?
Her mom was a heroin addict before her dad left her and they moved here to Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's the only way she could have gotten it because, I mean, that or by ex-boyfriend.
Sex with her mom?
Well, there's no history of it anywhere. I go get checked out and everything and I haven't had any of the symptoms or anything.
What did she do? She had sex with her mom?
No, I learned that herpes can be transmitted by a mother through to a child.
Yeah, it gets on their eyes and their skin and stuff, not the genital area.
But,
no, she didn't get it from her mom. Let that one, unless she has sex with her mom, forget that one.
All right. Well, listen, Keith, it's good that you guys broke up.
Yeah.
You seem like
she was cheating.
Yeah, she might have been cheating. And besides, you're moving on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. College.
College. Where are you going to college?
I just recently took the ACT here, and hopefully I'm trying to get out there to Sacramento, California, to American Ridge Community College.
this guy's
sorry, man. I'm not a country fan, all right?
This guy's got a lot of ambition.
He's going to come all the way to Sacramento.
You don't have to go anywhere to go to community college. You just take your shoes off and leave the house and walk on any campus. They don't have a junior college where you are?
They have a Northwest, but I don't want to go to Northwest because what I want to do, they don't have any classes for.
Uh-oh.
What is that?
Picking
and grinning?
Art and music, and also go into radio production so I can open up a studio.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of music you want?
Heavy metal like Mudvayne and Mudvayne. All those.
All right. Okay.
Y'all are brilliant.
Thanks, everybody, boy. You take care.
All right, man.
You go out to Sacramento, you chase your dreams down, and you grab it by the tail. You hogtie that dream and sodomize it. My grandfather told me.
Of course. You know, he always used the sodomy references when he talked to you, try to inspire you.
Yeah.
I was at the University of Mississippi, and I spoke out there, and they always stayed with me because they talked about how during the Civil War, the entire student body left and went to war.
Oh, really?
They had to close the school. The entire student body went in the military.
Yeah. And they were fighting for the South, right?
Yeah. And not too many returned.
Yeah. I know. You know, I think Mississippi or Mississippi State or something just got rid of the rebel. Getting rid of the rebel mascot.
Yeah.
I look forward to a day when all mascots, because eventually they're all going to be controversial at some point or another.
Can we just get to the point when all mascots can just be the cartoon figures they're meant to be rather than representations of...
I just think that one day they're just going to be sort of flesh-tone
orbs.
Yeah. Just round flesh tone orbs with no eyes or ears or arms. It's like everybody, you're a Mississippi State Rebel. I mean, mascot, the flesh toned orb, and just a round globule.
There's a school that had one called the Blob or something. Like, there's a school.
Everyone eventually get pissed off. So anyway, they don't like the fact that. I guess he's a rebel. He's an old drunken rebel. Yeah. And here's the problem too. Everybody on the team, you know, all the athletes are black, and then they got to deal with these racist mascots from 100 years ago. So it always becomes kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But I'm all for it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And what's wrong with the Indian stuff? You know, and no one on the team's an Indian. Jim Thorpe was the last guy to play ball. Was an Indian. Turn Japanese at the end of that. Sherry?
Hi.
Hey.
Good evening, gentlemen.
You're 25.
Yes.
You sound hot.
Well, I might be. Uh-oh. I think that's a matter of opinion, but most people think I am.
Most people do?
Yeah.
All right.
Also, I wanted to say really quick, Adam, I heard you on Stern the other day, and I haven't laughed quite as hard as I did in a long time, your bit about picking up chicks outside of abortion clinics.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was asleep. He doesn't remember.
I don't remember any of that.
Oh, my gosh. I was driving, and I was laughing so hard. It was very funny.
What'd you say?
I don't know. Here's the thing, real quick. I go to bed at 1:45 and I get up at 3:30 to do that show. And just like a phone call that you get in the middle of the night, like, you know, if you went to bed at 1:30 and the phone rang at 4 o'clock, you wouldn't remember what you said when you got up the next morning.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a 4-hour phone call.
Do you sleep later in the day a little bit?
What I do is I usually go to bed. You'd love it, Drew. Mm. Me drinking a glass of red wine at 8 in the morning.
Oh, Jesus
It's a great
Christ.
Look. The show ends at our time at like 7:45, 8 o'clock. Yeah. And then I sit there and watch like 20 minutes of TV, and I drink a glass of red wine. Then I go back to bed for 2 hours, and then I get up and go to work. Got and then it. I sleep for an hour later in the night sometime. But anyway, thanks. I don't remember any of it, but thanks.
It was funny.
Good time. So what's up?
Okay, so I'm in a relationship with someone for about 2 years now. And in the beginning, he had trouble climaxing when we were together. He'd been alone for a year, and I think had had his own kind of practices to take care of himself.
But just for the record, being alone from a year makes a guy go off quicker.
Right.
No matter what he was doing during that year.
Unless there's some weird anxiety or something.
Well, we had better success in the beginning, and as time went on, it's become less and less. And then other issues, you know, have come into play, like my insecurities and why isn't this working, and it created anxiety. And so we think, you know, then it was like a matter of, okay, well, is it going to happen? And so now I'm just
so
wondering.
He's not having an orgasm at all.
No, he sometimes, but not. I mean, I would like him to be having one every time, like
on,
I am.
Is he on medication?
No, no medication.
Does he do a lot of drugs?
No, he used to.
What drugs?
I think just pot and acid.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So now, you know, I went through my own phases of, well, what's causing this? Is it the internet? Is it not the internet? Is it me?
What's he doing with the internet?
Huh?
What's he doing with the internet?
Well, I think that's his main venue.
He's looking a lot of porn.
Right, but you know, I really don't think it's even a lot. I just think that's his daily 20 minutes, and that's how he takes care of himself.
Wow.
You're not making sense.
You're all up in your
head.
Right
yeah,
now.
This is not fitting at all.
Now,
guys don't take care of themselves when they have a woman that they're into, especially.
Well, I mean, they're not in place of it.
Oh, okay. Now, wait a second. How old is he?
28.
Okay, so here's the thing. Him taking care of himself does not really have anything to do with his ability to orgasm.
Right. Well, it could.
Well, we're an hour apart, so we're talking about every 5 days.
Every 5 days.
Right.
And when you get together, you have sex.
Right.
Yeah, see, here's what I'm saying. If he was taking care of himself a lot, okay, let me talk to Drew. Hold on. If he was, let's say, losing interest in the relationship, and he was just home pleasuring himself, and then they got together every 5 days, and he said, you know what, I had a pretty stressful day at work. Let's just watch some TV and turn in.
Right.
That's one thing. But if he's engaging in sex and not having an orgasm, that's something else.
Yeah.
What I mean is, it
could be a sexual compulsion, like he's masturbating constantly.
I mean, guys that are really sexually compulsed, like, you know, I've had a handful of friends over the years that can, you know, will beat off and then 20 minutes later be on top of their girlfriend.
Yeah.
They have no problems.
Right.
That's their rhythm. That's their speed.
Usually sex addicts incorporate sex into their whole addictive realm, an addictive menu.
Yeah.
This guy may be addicted to masturbation.
Even addicted to masturbation is still not. Here's what I'm saying. You have the theory that nothing comes out because there's nothing in. He masturbates too often.
Right.
Guys who masturbate, I guess I don't have to do the masturbation thing with my hand.
I know what you're talking about. You leave your penis in your pants.
Air jacking in front of Drew. My hands like, guys who masturbate are A-okay with me. I actually beat myself off to talk about masturbation. My hand starts moving.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, you know, when the dog hears the can opener, starts heading for the kitchen and spinning around, my left hand just starts moving. I start talking about masturbation.
It's never your right hand, interestingly.
No, I'm left-handed.
Yeah,
that's
no
my
kidding.
Remote hand. Okay, look, here's the point. I think he would have something left for her. I don't know what it is.
I smells of sort of addiction here. Like there may be something else going on, too.
All right, Sherry.
Yes.
I sense addiction to something here.
Well, he can finish when I orally take care of him.
Mm. Oh.
And also, he lasts. It's not like he's not aroused.
Yeah.
That's
his bag,
sure he's
then.
Not doing some speed or
he
something?
He has an orgasm when you finish him orally?
Right.
Oh, well, that's just
what he
likes.
Yeah.
That's what he's into.
Well, how can I change that?
A lot of women don't, or most women don't orgasm during intercourse.
Yeah.
After oral sex.
Doesn't feel so good, does it, sweetie?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, listen. He finishes. He wants to be finished off.
Sense some addiction here.
All right. Well, maybe he should look into his
maybe
addiction.
She should, yeah. No, I don't even mind pointing. I mean, maybe there's some chemical addiction going on here.
No, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. So she needs to ask some questions about that.
All right, Sherry, ask him questions about substance abuse. Yeah. All right, we'll be back. Yep, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jewel has left the studio. Let's get cracking on these calls, Drew. What do you say, buddy?
I'm ready.
Ready to rock?
Let's go.
Jamie?
By cracking.
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yep.
What's up?
I actually had an abortion a little over a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been with the same guy for over probably 12 or 14 months. And we had a great sex life. I mean, we had a really good sex life. And now we just started having sex again because we waited for my birth control to kick back in and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't enjoy it at all.
We don't.
Both of us don't. We didn't use condoms before. I was on birth control before, but I was taking other medication that ended up interfering, and I wasn't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
What medicine interfered?
Well, I took antibiotics, but I also take a preventative every day, nortriptyline.
What's that for?
It's an antidepressant.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean?
Preventative. So you never get depressed.
Well, I take it as a preventative for migraines.
I see. All right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But neither of us, we use condoms, and I'm on the patch now, but neither of us enjoy it at all. And I was wondering if that's just like a psychological thing related to having an abortion.
He doesn't like the condom?
Well, he doesn't like the condom. We won't have sex without a condom now. But
so he's not enjoying it because he doesn't like condoms.
He hates condoms.
Okay, so he needs to try different brands and things. There should be, I mean, these guys at Trojan make so many different condoms. I'm trying to compensate.
Drew's good friends at Trojan.
I know. They're sending me lists of all the different options they have. There's lots of things you can choose from there and try to find something that works for him. A, B, have you been depressed after the abortion?
Well, I was actually on, I take Taxol, and I took that before also.
Well, how long before? How long before?
Probably for about 4 months.
Hold on a second. You know what? Jamie's bothering me because each time we ask her a question,
She partially answers
it. It's like, well, he's not having a good time because
we're not.
Maybe it's because he doesn't like the condoms. He doesn't like condoms.
Yeah, could have told us that at the beginning.
Right. All right.
And then the depression thing withholds that.
Yes. What about the emotional baggage of having an abortion?
Well, the biological effect on your mood.
All right. The biological baggage. Jamie.
Yeah.
What about it? Did that affect you?
It wasn't something that either of us wanted to do, but we didn't find out I was pregnant.
Wait, no. Once you've gone from pregnant to not pregnant, your body goes.
We got rid of her.
She's really not listening.
Yeah, I just want to know if it affected her emotionally. Yeah.
Well, she wanted to go to a whole thing about the sort of spiritual aspects. What we're asking is. When you go from pregnant to non-pregnant, your body goes through a huge shock, and it changes the biology of your brain, and some women get very depressed afterwards.
Jamie?
Did you get depressed?
Not really.
Okay, so...
Not really.
And what's your Paxil dose?
Oh, God, I don't know.
You take one or two pills.
It's a low dose. It's controlled release.
Did you recently start the CR?
Well, I was continuously taking it.
So you didn't switch brands. You didn't switch from the regular one to the CR one.
Huh.
What's the deal with the migraines?
I've had them for as long as I can remember. My mom gets them. I've been on a preventative for probably over a year. I take Imitrex shots when I get them really bad.
All right.
Well, you're prone to depression, right?
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
And again, the changes you've been through associated with this abortion may have triggered more than you're aware of. And also, being on the new patch can affect your sex drive. You were on a previous birth control that seemed to not affect your sex drive, but now you said you've changed the patch. That's not usually one that does do it, but it could change your sex drive. You're on Paxil, which certainly can affect your libido and your ability to orgasm. You're on nortriptyline, which can affect sexual functioning, maybe. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that you could be sort of in an altered state right now, both psychologically and biologically.
All right. Well, good times. Good times.
And he just doesn't like condoms. He's got to find another
way. Right. That's why he's not enjoying himself.
Yeah, it's not we don't like sex. He'd be fine.
Thin film between his penis and you, and it's bothering him. Brady?
Yes.
You're 29?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I'm married. I've been married for 7 years. And I love my wife, but we haven't been having sex. Mm-hmm. But I've been obsessed with every young girl I work with at my job.
Yeah. Why have you not been having sex?
Just something that's not interesting me.
You're not interested?
I am on medication.
What medicine?
I'm bipolar. I'm on Zoloft, Xanax, Geodon, and Trileptal.
Okay.
Wow. What's the the Xanax part?
Yeah.
Why? That's the
Are you an alcoholic, Brady?
No. No, I don't drink. I don't smoke.
You never were. Never
do drugs.
You never had a history with substances.
God damn it! I left my cigarettes at the bar. They never finished a joke right. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't cuss. God damn it! I left my cigarettes at the bar. That's a funny one from my childhood. All right. So, well, you're on a bunch of stuff. So you probably can you get a boner? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I have a couple things going with a couple girls at work.
Why aren't you interested in your wife?
I haven't cheated on my wife yet in the physical sense, but I do have.
Well, let me ask you this. Work. All right. First off, you work in the restaurant business?
No. I work in a call center.
Uh-huh. Call center.
Whatever that is.
And I bet it has phones.
Yeah.
And what do you mean you have a couple of things going? What does that mean with the girls at work?
Well, we do everything short of making out. We do everything short of physical.
And well, everything
we have a lot of conversations. We have a lot of there's a lot of innuendos thrown around. There's a lot of actions being taken.
Like well, what?
Yeah,
specifically what?
A lot of sexual contact. Touching her breasts, her grabbing my butt, little things like that.
Well,
touching someone's breast.
Are you squeezing the breast? I mean, what are you doing with them?
Oh, just gentle, just brushes up and just to let her know that I'm there.
Hold on a second. Let me talk to Drew.
Wow,
hard to tell because it's one of our callers where reality starts
right.
And sort of bizarre fantasy sets
that's
in.
That's right.
I'd be curious to talk to one
the girls.
Of these girls
yeah.
And see what they thought was going
right.
On over there. I mean, listen, I've done some serious boob clubbing with my elbow in the past. You know,
right.
I mean, every time you turn around, if you're in an office, you can scrape some boob. I've turned it into an art form. Then I sniff my arm and masturbate in the bathroom while I cry during lunch break. Brady over here is talking about butt grabbing and boob grazing and stuff. I'm not sure. Do these girls, are they game? Like, if Brady said the word, would he be nailing them in the broom closet?
I can't imagine that.
I don't know why. You know why? Because Brady sounds so undesirable to us. But his name's Brady. That's a good-looking guy name. Mm-hmm. He's 29.
Mm-hmm.
How old are these girls?
17 to 20.
And you have a little something going in your mind, at least, with more than one of them?
Yeah, I have a couple things going.
And do you?
We buy each other gifts. We buy each other. We go to lunch together all the time.
You're the nice guy, the cool older guy that's at work. That's so nice to us.
Well, I mean, by the way, when you work together, going to lunch...
Normal.
Yeah, I eat lunch with everybody I work with every day. And gifts around the holidays or whatever, birthdays, totally appropriate.
Well, these are sexual gifts.
Oh, really? Yeah. Now we're getting somewhere.
Like what?
Herpes.
No. Like what?
No, buying lingerie for her buying me sex lotion.
sex lotion.
Does she think it's kind of funny and a joke?
I don't know.
Well, listen, here's the deal, Brady.
You know, and I'm just obsessed with...
Okay, but look, if you said to one of these girls, or all of them, listen, my wife's out of town for the weekend. She's visiting her mother. How about we swing by, check into a hotel? Would they go for it?
One would, definitely.
One would. All right. And you're a
20-year-old.
Right. So you have sexual energy, though. It's just not toward your wife.
Correct.
Okay. Do you have any kids?
We've got one and another one on the way.
All right. Yeah. Well, you have an obligation then to try to heal this relationship.
Yeah.
And not to act out with these women. It's ridiculous. If this is some manifestation of your mania, which I don't think so, you got to talk to your psychiatrist about it. And then you got to talk to your psychiatrist about getting a couple's therapist.
And enjoy your fantasy life.
It's a big deal that you're not having sex with your wife. Yeah. It's a big deal.
All right. Well, she's pregnant, too. They got a young one there. I mean, and he's all hopped up. Oh, who the hell knows?
Oh.
Well, imagine the chick who'd marry Brady. You know, speaking of the teens.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but I was sitting around watching TV today, and Vanity Fair had this thing, all these hot young teen things, yeah. You know, the Olsen sisters and
the Disney chicks.
Chick du jour is, yeah. It's a bunch of chicks that are like age 16 to 20, just wearing tons of makeup, all hoard up, wearing high heels and short this and that. I'm just staring at the cover of these eight chicks, and I'm getting a little blood down in the penis. And I don't blame myself. I blame society now.
They shouldn't parade that in front of males?
No, they shouldn't. No.
Okay, Pops.
I'm just saying, we may be citizens and human, you know, and males and fathers and whatever, taxpayers, but there's a little animalistic side to most guys. And you show them enough pictures of dolled up 17-year-olds for long enough, they're going to think it's a decent idea to get with one of them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like to eat up them Olsen sisters.
Mm.
Get my stereo sex on, you know what I mean?
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, everyone looks good. And they certainly doesn't seem like it'd be anything wrong with doing anything with any of them.
Maybe the East Police will come.
Yeah, you get busted by the East Police. But you look at the cover of Vanity Fair, you look at the chicks, and you're like, yeah, nothing wrong with that.
I met one.
I don't know what that, it's a weird, what message are we going for here societally? You know what I mean? Just tons and tons of just super sexual 16-year-olds.
If you remember, that's what Christina Aguilera was. She was like 15 when this
Britney
all started.
Britney Spears
was 16. And all that. It's the same, that's another cycle, another group of them.
I know.
And in a way, I think these are a little more wholesome.
Probably, but they still like to bang the bejesus out of them.
But that's how they sell stuff.
I mean, not me, not me.
Yeah, of course not.
Not me, but they're all...
Your penis, but not you. Yeah.
I think that was clear.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was clear. No, just, you
that's
know,
how they sell things.
Fellas around the office, you know. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Forget about that phone number.
I just corrected Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, synovial cyst.
What happened?
Popped it.
Yeah, what is that synovial?
That's what you had in your hand.
No.
Oh, no, you had a different thing. We thought you had that.
Yeah, everybody thought I had something that was what they wanted me to have, but it turned out to be something much worse.
Yeah.
And it popped, and you couldn't, you tried to stab it with a syringe, remember?
Pull all that pus out.
Oh, my hand's still weird, you know. It's so tingly. No, I don't want to show you anything because you touch everything. You poke.
No.
You poke where it hurts.
I don't want to show you.
No, I had surgery on my palm and my wrist.
No.
3 years ago. It's weird. It's dead. There's dead spots in it, you know. Sure. It didn't work out that. I mean, it worked out. It's weird. So the point is that Dr. Marcel said there was some nerve, whatever. They could fix it or something. It's a second surgery or something. But the point is worse than pain, it's asleep. Yeah. If you put your finger on it, it feels like a dead spot, and it's an eerie feeling. I don't like it. Mm. So I'm not going to let you poke at it. But if you want to look, you can look at it. Mm. Don't touch.
Looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. It's still dented in a little bit there.
Yeah, that'll heal.
Yeah. Thank God they got my underpants away from me, though, huh?
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have caught on fire. That's what I love. I was like, you give me one good goddamn reason why you need my underpants to perform hand surgery on. And they're like, certain underpants are made of a cotton lycra mesh. It could actually ignite during surgery. I'm like, how high are you? Please. I told him, please give me the thing that I have to sign. Hmm. I will sign the underpants. You know what? If I wake up and my balls are going up like a Roman candle, I will have signed that piece of paper, and you'll be completely, you'll escape litigation. They don't have that paper. Now, let me say this. Hold on. I'm getting fired up for a second here, Drew. This country's destroyed now.
Yeah.
Destroyed by the attorneys.
Yes.
Everything is everything. If there's a 0.1% chance of anything happening, then it can't be done.
Right.
You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't walk outside somewhere holding a cup. You know what I mean?
It's a slippery slope, Adam.
Slippery slope. My balls drive me nuts. It's like we have a man show rap party a few years ago. I want to go step outside and smoke a cigarette. I got a drink in my hand. It's like, you can't step out. It's like, listen, I'm 100 feet from the street. I'm just going to stand here by there. You got to put the drink. You know, I got to go get the drink and go set it back inside on the ground and then come out like I'm a 10-year-old. I can't stand all this stuff. And here's what I'm saying. Just start producing. You know, you got all those pieces of paper that everyone has to sign that gets everyone off the hook if there's anything should go wrong. Give me the piece of paper that lets me keep my underpants on and carry my drink around. You know what I mean? Let me sign a waiver.
Unfortunately, it's so bad you can't. Waivers don't stand up.
I know.
It's just horrible.
You know what I want? Here's what I want in life. I want some general piece of paper that I can sign that says, "Listen, unless I'm standing in line at your amusement park." And I get hit with a crossbow through the neck. I'm not suing.
I'm not suing anything.
Let me sign the general paper, and then let me go about my
life. I'm inclined to take responsibility for everything that happens in my life. My neighbor's hillside fell in my backyard. I cleaned it up myself. I'm not going to blame him.
You have a good, healthy, low self-esteem, Drew, and that's why we've lasted. Well, let me give you an example. Jimmy signed me up for the Wine of the Month Club, right?
Yeah.
Because that's all I need, more free booze, right?
Of course, yeah.
He got me a nice gift for my birthday, and he signs me up. Well, he asked me, him and my partner, Daniel. I said, what do you want? I said, I like those of the month clubs where you get the coffee, you get the red wine, you get the beer, you get the different thing every month. So they sign me up, and I come home one day, and you get that little tag from UPS. Hey, sorry, we missed you. Well, they missed you because they came by 1:30 on a Tuesday, and of course you were at work. And then the next day you show up again, and it's like, hey, sorry, we missed you again. It's like, hey, listen, you can't figure out that human beings may work during the day. You keep coming by at noon on a Monday and a Tuesday. I'm not going to be around. Then the third one is, hey, now you got to come pick it up. Usually they drop stuff off, but they can't drop off booze.
Oh.
They can't drop off a nice bottle of red wine that's totally packaged and sealed up. The reason why they can't do it is there's some liability, right? The neighbor kid, the 11-year-old neighbor kid is going to hop the fence, open my package, drink my Chardonnay, and then go stab his sister, and me and UPS are going to be liable. That's what's killing this country. I got to then, like a retarded 4-year-old, go down to UPS and get my booze because they're going to get sued if they drop something off of the 4% alcohol in my yard on my property. And meanwhile, they drop everything else off. I could order, give me a battle axe, 10 gallons of kerosene, and
uranium.
70 stump midget porn foot fetish films, and they drop that off, no problem. But this thing's 4% alcohol. Oh, no. And we're slowly being destroyed. I got wine of the month. That's great. I get to go down and get it. Why don't you just leave it at the goddamn liquor store? What use is it? You know what I mean? Like, what use is being anything of the month if you got to haul your ass down and go get it? That's called a goddamn liquor store. It's on the corner. I'll go get it myself. I know there's some faggoty lawyer that's behind this whole thing. Yeah, because one time they dropped something off and somebody got drunk. And then somebody sued. And then everybody was screwed. I can't stand this. I want to take our country back. I really do. You horrible, blood-sucking, vermin lawyer. Have some dignity, would you? Have a little pride. And listen, you pussies, You pussies that bring up these frivolous lawsuits, have some dignity and put a gun in your mouth and kill yourself. And then maybe your sons and daughters can go ahead and sue the manufacturer of the gun company. Make a few bucks off your pussy death. I'm 39 years old. I've never even come close to one lawsuit in my entire goddamn life.
Would you ever?
No! I would never. I wouldn't sue anybody unless somebody just attacked me with a tire iron. And even then, I'd just give me the money, put the guy in jail and give me the money for the hospital bills and we'll call it even. Freak suing everybody all the time, shutting every business down. Pussies. Lawyers. Oh, yeah, we got Philip Morris. They're giving us $70 billion. Yeah, put DuPont, put everybody. Put Owens Corning. Put everyone out of work. And just sue the hell out of everybody. Have some dignity, you people. I don't trust anyone has a lawsuit about anything ever. And you people that have multiple lawsuits, you're going on your sixth one. When I'm in charge, I'm going to take a rusty piece of rebar. I'm going to put it in one ear. It's going to come out the other. And we're just going to hang you outside the stadiums. It's going to be my plan for you. Outside the stadiums. You hear me, Drew?
Basketball, baseball, football.
Whatever the season is. All right. Let's take a break. Yeah.
Where does the time go? We have such fun.
I don't know. I'm just looking at phone screener Brian, and I'm thinking, it's a good time we're living in. He's a little thin up top with the hair, but he wears it short cropped, yeah. And it works for him.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, see, in 1974, you have to have long hair.
It'd have to be to his shoulders, what little rim there was.
Even if you have no hair, right, and you end up looking like David Crosby.
Right.
You look like some kind of mad scientist. Mm-hmm. You look like a Riff Raff from the Rocky Horror Show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you had only hair growing out of one side of your head in 1974 and only in a patch about 3 inches around, that side would have to be 2 foot long.
Yeah.
It just had to look like a pony's tail hanging from the side of your left
because,
side of your
man,
head.
Man, if you didn't, it's like, what is up
weird.
With you?
Yeah. There's never been a better time to be bald or half thin in hair, whatever. You just put the clipper on, you buzz it off, and you look cool.
There you go.
All right. Oh.
Good times.
You know, I had the real nappy hair, so I had to have that long, and it was like wearing a Darth Vader's helmet. You know,
well, and then you had to
sit trying to part
then
it.
Then you had to get into
the one side,
Farrah Fawcett,
like wearing a helmet.
Farrah Fawcett
trying to feather it back, and it was all weird and brillowy, and it looked all funky and. Now it's just, you just do it short. You live. Oh, what are we thinking? I'm going to sue Father Time.
Yes.
Okay.
For the 70s.
I want to thank Jewel for coming in here. Good times. And 0304, name of the CD. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Have fun riding out your life at the Home Depot.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.